The passage that we have tonight in our study is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. The identity of the biblical gift of tongues. One of the most debated scripture passages in evangelical circles is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For many charismatic Christians claim that they speak in humanly unintelligible utterances to God in private. And they support this practice, and they cite 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 in the King James. It says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but to God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." And they use that verse as a support for going ahead and speaking in tongues in private. I actually have relatives who practice this, and they're Christians. But in view of the great divisiveness that exists in Christian circles over the issue of tongues, we need to discern if Paul was sanctioning speaking unintelligible utterances to the Lord in private, or if he meant something else. And if so, what? What did he mean? So we view 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2 in its biblical context for our insight and edification. I'll read the verses first, and then we'll look at the passage. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, "Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." The immediate context shows that Paul did not condone tongues as unintelligible utterances to the Lord in private. In making the transition from chapter 13, Paul urged his readers to follow after love and to desire spiritual gifts, but rather, or to a greater degree, the Greek word is malon, that they might prophesy. So, you know, he desired the gift of tongues, but rather that they prophesied. Now, why is he saying that prophecy is supposed to be preferred to speaking in tongues? Well, to support his preference for prophecy among the gifts, Paul introduced verse 2 with an explanatory conjunction. It's the Greek word gar, and it means for or you see. So Paul explained that prophecy is preferred to a gift like tongues, since prophecy communicates truth to other people that they can understand, unlike tongues that are not translated. For an untranslated ministry of tongues leaves one speaking only to God in mysteries and not being understood by others. See, the goal of the gifts is not the ministry to oneself or even the ministry to the Lord. It's the ministry to others. The gift that God has given you is a gift that God wants you to use to help other Christians. And when we help one another, that builds great unity and interactions and fellowship within the body. So the purpose is, the gift, the whole goal of gifts is other people centered, not me and my relationship with God, but me and my relationship to other Christians in relationship to the Lord, of course. So the immediate context argues that Paul was not condoning the use of the gift of tongues to communicate mysteries only to God in private, unintelligible speech, for that would fail the expressed goal of spiritual gifts to edify other people, not oneself in private devotion to the Lord. It's interesting. God has given us gifts. That's wonderful. And it's great to be happy that we have a gift, but the whole purpose of the gift is not for our building up. The purpose of the gift that God has given us is to help others. It's all focusing on the other people that are around us. Now, the broad context shows that Paul did not condone tongues as unintelligible utterances to the Lord in private. Those who support speaking in unintelligible speech to God often refer to the well-known ecstatic speech practiced by pagan Sibylla, or female prophetesses of Paul's day, such as the Cumaean Sibyl, Pythia, the female oracle at Delphi, or the Menides of Dionysus. Now, these are strange figures to you. You've probably never heard of them. I didn't hear of them before. I looked at the Bible Knowledge Commentary either, but these were women who were prophetesses, and they would speak in unintelligible speech. They would say da ba da ba da ba da, or whatever, and they'd just go off into these long spiels, and they would speak uncontrollably, and you couldn't understand what they were saying. It's a lot like what the charismatics do today, but this is what pagans practiced in Paul's day. Well, Christians argue that Paul referred to this pagan background to condone the practice of unintelligible speech to God in private as a ministry of devotion to the Lord. However, Paul's theological concepts and the usual source of his terms was the Old Testament. Paul used the Greek term glossa, that is interpreted unknown tongue in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. 21 times in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, but only three other times in his other letters. In each of these other three uses of glossa, that's the Greek word for tongues, in Paul's letters, they quote an Old Testament passage. For example, Romans chapter 3, verse 13, quotes Psalm 5:9. Romans 14:11 quotes Isaiah 45:23. And they allude to, or they refer to, an Old Testament. Another Old Testament passage is Philippians 2:11 cites Isaiah 45, verse 23. Well, in each of these three cases, Paul used the word tongue as a figure of speech for the statement or the confession made. And the statement or confession was clearly intelligible speech. In other words, you could understand from what Paul was writing specifically what was being said. It wasn't just dabba-dabba-dabba, all right? So glossa, as used elsewhere also in the New Testament, whether literally or of the physical organ of the tongue, or figuratively of human language, nowhere refers to unintelligible ecstatic speech. So if you take this Greek word that is translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, which is translated as unknown tongue in the King James, it's glossa, and you look at its use anywhere else in the New Testament, it always refers either to the tongue, which is the organ that you have in your mouth, or it refers figuratively to speech that is spoken, and it's always intelligible speech. It's speech that's in a language, a human language. In fact, if you notice, if your King James Version, if you have verse 2, you'll notice that the word unknown that modifies tongue is italicized. As a child, I referred to them as wiggly letters. The letters are not straight, they're slanted, all right? It's like it's spaghetti that's been cooked, all right? They're wiggly. And that is an interesting observation because it's italicized to signify that it does not translate a word in the Greek New Testament text, but that it was provided by the English translators. So all that they're translating as the word unknown tongue is just the word tongue. The translators, the King James Version translators, added the word unknown. And the reason they added unknown was not because they were referring to unintelligible speech, but here it's speech that somebody else doesn't know. And that's what they were trying to clarify. It's like you're speaking in, let's say suddenly someone up here suddenly stood up and started speaking in the Nigerian tongue of Hausa. All I know is in Hausa is greetings, but I don't know if someone was to jabber off Hausa, I wouldn't understand it. But if you could stand up and suddenly start preaching the gospel in Hausa, well, the rest of us, that would be an unknown tongue because the rest of us wouldn't know what you're talking about. And that's why the translators use the word unknown. But the word unknown is not referring to ecstatic speech or unintelligible speech because it's just a word that was provided by the translators. It's not from the Greek text at all. So you cannot take the word unknown in the King James Version of 1 Corinthians 14, 2, verse, as what charismatics do. You cannot use it to support the claim that glossa refers to unintelligible speech. So the gift of tongues mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, as well as in the rest of the New Testament, is the same gift that is mentioned back in Acts chapter 2. What's that? Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what were these tongues? You'll notice if you skip down and verse 7, Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, or known abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. They understood the languages. And they marveled, and were all amazed, and said to one another, behold, are not these men which speak Galileans? How then do we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Notice they named the tongues, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in parts of Libya and around Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So the word tongues there, we're referring to human languages. And actually, these are all Gentile languages. Even you'll notice there when it says the speakers in Judea, the Judeans spoke Aramaic. Ever since they came back from the Babylonian captivity, they spoke the Gentile language of Aramaic. Jesus actually spoke Aramaic. On the cross when he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that's Aramaic, that's not even Hebrew. Now they knew Hebrew, but their native tongue was Aramaic, it was a Gentile language. So you have Gentile languages. That's what the Holy Spirit gave them at Acts 2. And that's the same gift that they had in Corinth and so forth. They were just speaking languages that were not known by the people in that congregation, so they couldn't minister to others because they didn't have a translator. So the gift of tongues is the same as mentioned in Acts 2. It's a supernatural ability to speak the truths of God in an intelligible Gentile language that the speaker had not known before God's gifting him to speak in that language. So this gift is to be used to edify others by communicating truth in a human language that they know and understand. So Paul did not condone the use of ecstatic, humanly unintelligible speech, but the spiritual gift from God to communicate in a known human language God's truth that others could understand to their edification. So may we understand the biblical identity and the use of the gift of tongues as clarified in the Word of God. Now, I took time out to have a message just on these two verses because we know that there is a real issue of division here in Christian circles. And the question is, why did I do that for our group here tonight? Let me share with you why. A number of years ago, we had a young girl. She was a teenager in our church who went on a retreat. And this was a retreat by another church. And in that other church, they believed in speaking in tongues. And they tried to get this girl in our church to speak in tongues. And this girl was blown away. She didn't understand. She'd never heard about this issue before, but she was confronted with it. And she came back very bothered. She never did speak in tongues. She didn't know how. And she couldn't get the point. And this really bothered her parents. Her parents came to me. So I immediately went into a series of lessons that I could. And I spoke about the tongues movement and how we're not supposed to be utilizing the false gift that is around today. And this was a problem. My own mother, when she was a teenager, she went to a Christian Missionary Alliance church, and there the young people tried to get her to speak in tongues, and Mom tried. This is before tongues became a divisive issue. But they laid hands on her. They, you know, she had to get down on her knees, and they laid hands on her, and they prayed and prayed, but she never did get it. And finally they gave up and said, ah, you'll never get it. And so she gave up trying. And later on she found out that really it wasn't a true gift. So this is something that every now and then pops up. And what I want to do is to make sure our young people especially are aware of the truth on this. The gift of tongues, the New Testament gift of tongues that existed in Paul's day, was the ability to speak in a human language that was knowable, but which you yourself had never known before. You didn't know how to speak. And all of a sudden, just boom, you could speak, and you could actually teach in truth out of that. That's what it is. It's teaching or speaking in an intelligible language, in a language that you did not know before. It's a supernatural ability suddenly to speak in that language. And I want you to be sure about that, so that if you ever get confronted and you ever happen to go away to a group somewhere and all of a sudden they get into this effort of trying to speak in tongues and so forth, you'll be forewarned and you'll be forearmed, so that you'll be able to take a strong stand for the Lord.